Hey guys, welcome back to Escape to the Magic Podcast. This is your host Ryan.
And I am Dak.
And we are again, well, I shouldn't say again. Randy was unavailable this weekend to record, so we promised our listeners to put out an episode every Wednesday. And we can't fail them, Dak.
Yeah, so Randy had some family obligations, and so Ryan and I got together. We're in, I guess you'd call it Studio D, which is my house. So hopefully the audio comes through pretty good. We've tested and retested, but hopefully you guys...
And retested.
Yeah. Hopefully you guys don't notice too big of a difference, but it's good to be talking Disney again with you, man.
It is. You know, and I guess my thought when we first started doing this was, oh yeah, we're just going to get a couple microphones, plug them into a computer, and just start talking.
Yeah.
It is a lot more difficult than that.
Yeah.
And thankfully, Randy, you know, he and his wife have their own podcast, Whistle While You Work podcast. Check them out on Apple and Spotify. Really good husband-wife duo where they talk about Disney. Thankfully, Randy had the experience coming into this and was able to kind of get us going without much of the headache from that a lot of people probably experience when they start a podcast. But yeah, you and I here at your house, Studio D for Studio Dak. Yeah, hopefully the audio is coming out, because we've done this before. We've done recordings without Randy out of his studio, and they've been okay.
Yeah,
the audio's been okay. But I think tonight we got two good microphones set up. We got our computer here. We got this mixing board, and we're just letting it fly, man. We're just letting it fly.
Yeah. So listen, I wanted to talk about tonight's episode. So we're gonna call today's episode, or I just called it tonight as if people are listening at night, but whenever you're listening, we're calling this episode Debunking Disney Dining. And so the genesis for this was just simply that I had some family members. They ended up booking a trip to Disney. They went over spring break, bless their hearts. I'm sure it was absolutely wild and crazy there and lots of crowds, but so funny story, they're in the middle of their week there at Disney, and they text me and they're like, hey, can we book a Cinderella's Royal Table dinner for our family of eight while they're there? And
hey, that's confidence right there.
Yeah. Yeah, so I was like, so that's not going to happen. Kind of had to explain to them. They were first-time Disney goers, or at least first-time in a long-time Disney goers. Anyways, so kind of talked them off of that ledge and let them know, you know, softly that that's just not going to happen. That's one of the most sought-after dining reservations, I would say, at the parks. Ironically enough, I was able to find a table of four, which brings me to another cool thing. I don't know if you've seen this on the Disney Dining app yet, but now you can search 10 days in advance for different restaurants and figure out when that dining reservation can be made over a 10-day period. So instead of just pulling up one day at a time and searching and then going to the next day, you can actually now search over a 10-day period.
And this has been one of the biggest headaches that I think I have had with Disney over the years, is that when you are searching for dining, you get that one option. Thursday morning at 8:10. Well, that doesn't work for me. Let me go to the next day. And it's been a headache. And I am glad that Disney has finally figured this out, that, hey, we are a billion-dollar company with tons of smart people and engineers and computer guys. Let's figure out a way where when you're searching for dining, how about more than one or two options pop up? How about more than one or two days pops up at a time? I think this is a great thing that they've done.
Yeah, it's absolutely geared and user-friendly for the end user, you know, us, as we're booking all of our dining reservations whenever we go to Disney. But so anyways, back to my in-laws. So they're there. I say, look, I'm sorry we can't get all eight of you in. But ironically, I can get four of you in on Friday, or a secondary option is we could have got them over at Akershus, all eight of them, for breakfast. And to me, I don't know what your experience has been. Have you ever been to Akershus?
I've walked past it 100 times, never gone in.
It is, I would say it's your little known secret or poor man's Cinderella's royal table. You get to see all the exact same princesses. They come, you know, around to the table just like at Cinderella's royal table. I think it's a hidden gem if you're trying to book a princess character dining meal. The food probably isn't as good or quality.
That's saying something because I don't think the food at Cinderella's royal table is super great.
Right, right. Yeah, no, yeah, I agree.
I'm trying to be nice there.
And so, but if you're there for a breakfast buffet, man, it's a great option. And so anyways, that kind of got me thinking about what our topic could be for tonight's episode. And it got me thinking, like, what are some probably high-profile Disney restaurants, Disney meals, or what I like to call Instagram-worthy Disney snacks or foods that you see plastered all over social media that look great, but maybe aren't as edible or not edible, but just not as good taste-wise as what they... is what they appear to be when you see them posted online, or, you know, there's a million and one YouTubers out there that are giving you all the latest snacks and treats that are coming out in the parks, and they all look amazing. Or for that family that's going to Disney for the first time, and they think, hey, I want to book Cinderella's Royal Table because what could be possibly better than eating at, you know, Cinderella's castle? So anyways, that was the thought process that I had, and hopefully we can have a pretty good discussion about it tonight.
Yeah, you know, and you know, like you said, there's a million and one YouTubers, there's a million and one Instagrammers that are all posting not the same pictures of the same food, but they kind of are. You know, yeah. As Disney comes out with these different festivals and different parties, they typically will introduce a new menu item, and you know, and we're not on the invite list yet.
Yeah,
we're not part of that media invite list where they get to go experience these things for the first time. And you see the other podcasts, the YouTubers are posting pictures of ice cream and little bitty sliders and French fries and whatnot. And it's like, oh, that looks good. And obviously, we cannot cover even 2%.
No,
in this episode of what food is out there that could be considered Instagram worthy or not. So, but you know, food is, you know, there is an art form to creating food and to making it look presentable, which is why a lot of wedding cakes, as beautiful as they are, may not taste the best.
Yeah.
You know, because there's so much effort put into how it looks. So, let's get into this.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think let's maybe pick two or three restaurants that we think kind of hit this list of like, hey, they're very popular, very hard to book, and we can go Disney World and Disneyland for that matter, but maybe aren't as appealing as what it may appear that they are, right? So obviously we just mentioned Cinderella's Royal Table. So this is a 2-credit dining plan meal, if you're on the dining plan. Otherwise, it's... What do you think you're spending a person there?
It's the $60 per person
meal. Yeah.
A family of five is, you're in there for $300 before taxes and tip.
Yeah. So it is a very expensive, but also very sought after for good reason. I mean, it has the marquee name and, you know, it's the title fight, right? If you want to, it's the main event, right? Yeah. Like everybody would love to eat in the castle with the princesses, you know. I can totally appreciate that, but my personal experience has been the food not so great. I mean, if you're using it just for an excuse to skip whatever it is, 5 or 6 lines waiting for a princess, okay, I guess I can understand that. You get a meal out of it as well. But other than that, I would say if you're going there for food quality, you're going to be sorely disappointed.
Well, I like what you said about title fight, prize fight. This is the Mike Tyson versus Buster Douglas fight. This is, yeah. You're going expecting to see a fight and you see Buster Douglas win. You're like, I came here to see Mike Tyson destroy Buster Douglas, and I got Douglas winning. You know what? So I agree. And again, not taking anything away from the experience. It is a wonderful experience.
Yes.
Getting your picture taken, you know, with Cinderella, seeing the glass slipper, being inside the castle. That is once in a lifetime. That is memory making. That is a core memory. We've talked about core memories on this podcast. It's a core memory. Having the princesses walk around to your tables, you know, getting pictures on an individual basis, getting to chat with them a little bit. Yeah. Then the food comes out.
Yeah.
You're like, I've seen the sausage before. Yeah. I've seen the fruit tray before. Like it's nothing special. So it's decent food, but again, you're not paying for the food. You're paying for the experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree.
Well, so I have one that is, I mean, it's readily available to anybody that wants it. It's over at Gaston's Tavern. So staying in the Magic Kingdom, we're going to go to Gaston's Tavern, just a little bit further away than the Cinderella's Castle. I just don't get it. It's the cinnamon roll.
Okay.
At Gaston's Tavern.
Wow.
You know, it is all over social media.
It gets a lot of love.
And I am just like, you know, I like my cinnamon rolls a little dense, a little soft, a little chewy, just smothered with icing just dripping off of it. And this is none of that.
Yeah.
This is this light, airy, fluffy. I mean, it is big. It's definitely a shareable treat. And I don't know if they still do this, but you used to be able to ask for like an extra side cup of icing.
Really?
And I'm like, if you have to ask for extra icing, then it doesn't have enough icing to begin with. And for me, I'm like, that is a no-no when it comes to cinnamon rolls. Yeah. Give me the colossal cinnamon roll at the Animal Kingdom. It has a little bit of a crispier, flaky top, but it's more dense. It has better flavor of icing. What they have at Gaston's is just, to me, it's no better than what you pick up at, you know, at the grocery store. You can make this yourself, and you know, for $7, I'm like, I'll pass.
Yeah.
I'll pass on Gaston cinnamon roll. It just does not have, it looks great in a photo. It doesn't taste great in my mouth.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm with you. I've always wondered what the big hubbub is about it, but I just can't seem to bring myself to think that it's, you know, anything more. That's, I think you nailed it on the head. Anything more than your standard grocery bakery store that you go and get some cinnamon rolls from, you know, in a pinch. But any more on Gaston's? Are you good there?
I'm good there. No, we don't need to spend more time than that on Gaston's cinnamon roll.
All right. Okay, so my next one is, I feel like we're picking on Magic Kingdom, but the next one that came right to my mind is Be Our Guest.
Oh,
this is another one that I think is a very, very highly sought after, hard to get booking for a restaurant. And when you get in there, the ambiance is phenomenal. It is so great. And the theming is amazing. But the food, not so great.
So how many have you been there?
I've been there probably 4 or 5 different times.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Everything from breakfast to, you know, the lunch and dinner. I would say, if you had to make a choice and you wanted to go in there for the ambiance and you knew that that's what you were getting in there for, absolutely, I think breakfast is a better option than the dinner.
That's
and
the dude, lunch. That is so funny because we have done breakfast and we have not done lunch and dinner. And I've heard that lunch and dinner are better.
Oh, really?
Our breakfast experience was, it wasn't bad, but to your point, it wasn't great for the food.
Yeah.
It was, I would say, even probably worse food than Cinderella's Royal Table.
Wow.
Yeah. I just wasn't impressed. Now, again, the ambiance is fantastic.
Yeah, they have the West Wing
there.
You're
in his castle.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing.
It is. Yeah, it is phenomenal. You're there in the main dining. You see all the cherubs and all them on the ceiling and just if you could imagine being in the middle of the cartoon, you're right there. But that's where it kind of ends, or at least for me, that's where it kind of
ends. And it makes sense because I don't recall seeing a ton of food pictures on Instagram from that restaurant. A lot of photos from, you know, with the decor and whatnot. But yeah, typically you're not going to find a lot of pictures showcasing the food in there.
Yeah, for sure. The next one on my list, or did you have one? I don't want to steal one.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, the next one on my list was just seasonal cupcakes. So I know that's just a very broad topic, but it seems like every 3 to 4 months or so, they come out with the new, you know, Little Mermaid cupcake, or the new, you know, at Halloween, they always seem to have some sort of poison apple cupcake or... And I'm telling you, it is like the most beautiful Instagram. You take it and you hold it up to where all you see is the cupcake and the castle in the background. And it's this perfect picture that's going to get, you know, 30,000 likes on Instagram.
I mean, dude, this is where we need video I'm envisioning the scene from Tommy Boy where Chris Farley is in the restaurant holding his roll. And, you know, petting the roll and, you know, caressing the roll. that's how you're looking as you describe this cupcake. Like, it is something that you want to, you want these cupcakes to just taste really good.
Yes.
But they just don't.
Yeah. It's like a Costco cupcake.
And for $5, $6, $7, like, again, this goes back to the whole, I want my treats to be a little more dense. And I feel like the cupcakes at Disney are just kind of light and airy. And yeah, I'm with you on that. I just don't get the hype around. Again, from a picture standpoint, very picturesque, Instagram worthy. Yes, they're going to look great in a photo, but not so great in your mouth.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. All right. Did you have a couple of other on your others?
Dude, I got some here, man. I think, I think this is kind of sad to say, and believe me, we're going to get into some positives here. But the Mickey pretzel, and we've kind of talked about the Mickey pretzel.
You're attacking a legend right now.
I know. Forgive me, lovers of the Mickey pretzel. But I used to be a lover of the Mickey pretzel. Like, this used to be my go-to, my staple as a family. Hey, we're going to split some Mickey pretzels. They were amazing. But man, the past couple of times we have been, I feel like, you know, even during our guys trip, I'm like, you know what? For $10.99,
yeah,
like this pretzel better just melt in my mouth. And it was a little on the stale side.
Yeah.
And it was a little disappointing that I just spent $11. Now, it's $10.99 with the cheese. I think you can get it without the cheese and save a buck or two. But if you're going to get a stale pretzel, you got to have the cheese to go with it.
Yes.
So, right. I mean, again, nothing. I mean, to the Mickey pretzel lovers, I apologize. Right. This is hard for me to say, but I think, let's just be honest with yourself. It has kind of gone downhill the past couple of years.
No, absolutely. I totally agree on the pretzels. It was, it seems like the quality has dropped a little bit, but I do. I feel like we're being really negative here, but I think what we're trying to portray for, you know, listeners and people that are tuning in for the show is, you know, look, Disney is phenomenal about not falling into the groove of your regular run-of-the-mill, you know, Gary, Indiana theme park food, right? Nothing against Gary, Indiana. It could be Houston, Texas, right? Like, yeah. We used to have Six Flags here, and you would go and you'd get your typical theme park food, and it was just gross. Like, not good, absolutely gross, mm-hmm. right? And I think Disney does a phenomenal job of providing some really, really good food options. I think the point we're trying to make is like, hey, look, some of this stuff, like, don't feel like it's the end of the world on your trip if you don't get into Cinderella's Castle.
Yeah.
Like, yes, the experience, the ambiance is great, but I mean, we've mentioned this before. A lot of part of our Disney trip is the food experience as well. And yeah. So if you're looking for really good food, Disney absolutely has it. Just, you know, be aware that some of these high profile places aren't necessarily always about the food.
And Disney does, I mean, their culinary arts program is world renowned.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
They put out some amazing chefs. And the restaurant there that's in the Grand Floridian, why am I forgetting the name?
Like 1900 Park Fair?
No, the other one that just received like the top Michelin award.
Oh, yes.
Why can't I remember the name?
Yeah, I don't know. I'll pull it up.
Okay, pull it up. No, and I think what we're trying to get at too is like some things just are going to look great. Like if you've never had a Mickey pretzel, you should get a Mickey pretzel because it's super fun. They look cute. You dip them in the cheese sauce. They're shareable. But don't be surprised if it doesn't meet your taste expectations, right?
Right. Absolutely. That's I think what we're trying to get at.
And yeah.
I'm pulling this up, so I apologize that we're having this is not good podcasting right now.
But you know, to our point though, it's like there are documentaries, there are YouTube videos of behind the scenes with these culinary, you know, these experts behind, you know, with Disney that are, you know, showing us how to create these masterpieces, how they create, you know, like the Regal Eagle, that new barbecue place at Epcot. There's a whole documentary on like the research that they went to Texas, they went to Kansas City, they went to the Carolinas to really just like figure out how do we make this world class barbecue. And I've been to the Regal Eagle and I'm like, you know, it's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
They actually did a really good job making barbecue. And yeah. You wouldn't think that going to Disney World that you're going to find good barbecue, but they've done a pretty good job.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's maybe talk about,
did you find the name of that restaurant?
I did not. I don't know what I'm doing wrong, but, is it on one of those? I'm handing Ryan my phone here again, not good podcasting right now. Yeah, I would say let's kind of maybe switch gears a little bit and talk about some of the phenomenal foods that you can get while you're at Disney. I mean, I will say right now that one of my favorite restaurants on site is in the French Pavilion. We've mentioned it several times on the show before, and that's La Halle's. Like, I just...
Oh, yeah.
There's just very few things there that I've ever gotten at La Halle's that I just did not love. And I think, you know, I personally think one of the best buys you can get if you're looking for, you know, inexpensive food, but a lot of it is at La Halle's. And that's that baguette. I mean, you can get a baguette for $2-3 and it's, you know, very filling. So, but that's not what you go to La Halle's for. You go to La Halle's for all of the desserts and the sandwiches and just, man, it's just such a great restaurant. You find your Floridian restaurant.
Why can't we find this restaurant? It's one of those, it's like, you know, it's like suit, like coat and tie is mandatory. Why can't we remember this restaurant? Probably because we're never going to eat there.
Yeah.
Dude, I love La Halle's.
Yeah.
It is, if you're going to Disney and you need a snack or dessert or something, La Halle's is an absolute place. You have to go there.
Yeah.
They've got some. So, yeah, and actually one of those, the croissant jabon fromage. I know I'm butchering the pronunciation. It's their basically their ham and cheese croissant sandwich. Amazing. Yeah. It looks amazing. It's Instagram worthy and it is amazing. However, the chocolate croissant, not so great.
Yeah.
It looks pretty good, but you bite into it and it's a lot of bread.
Yeah.
And the chocolate is, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah. I think another big hitter for me that like one of those places that I always have to swing by is, you know, the Caramel Cuckoo.
Let's pronounce it right.
Yeah.
The Caramel Cuckoo.
Yeah, it's just one of those treats. Again, probably not going to end up on a lot of Instagram pages, but man, if you're a caramel lover, I think it hits the spot every time. Like, there's very few times I've been there where I've tried something new and been like, that was just okay. Everything is phenomenal coming out of that caramel shop.
Yeah, and that's in the Germany Pavilion at Epcot. Yeah.
Yeah, so good.
Yeah. So I would say, too, going to Animal Kingdom over at Pandora.
Yes.
The blueberry cream cheese mousse.
At the Sully Canteen.
At the Sully Canteen.
Yeah.
It is a beautiful dessert, and it tastes amazing.
Absolutely.
Instagram worthy.
Yeah.
Top to bottom from a picture perspective. And it is amazing. Just off the fork into your mouth.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Another place like that, that I would say you're going to get looks and taste, is that Amaretz Bakery. Or that's not what the official name is. It's Amaretz.
Disney Springs.
In Disney Springs.
Yeah. And we've done that before.
Yeah. So many like beautiful cakes and patisseries and everything there that it just look amazing, but also taste amazing.
And so, and on that note, you can actually book a cake decorating experience.
Very fun.
Which is very fun. We've done that. And that was a very, very fun experience. You get to make, your Mickey shaped cake or something like that. And they will hold it for you throughout the day while you go to the parks. And then you get to go pick it up later and take it home. It was really good. That was a fun experience. Yeah, it was a really fun experience. Yeah, it was really fun. Dude, I would also say, something that maybe not doesn't look good, but I love, is the cheeseburger spring roll, which we've talked about. Magic Kingdom, it's a little cart right before you get into Adventureland. And you just sell these cheeseburger spring rolls.
Yeah.
And honestly, one of the best snack options at Disney, in all of Disney World, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think so.
So are you going to take a picture of it?
Probably not. Yeah.
You know, it's a spring roll.
Yeah.
You know, but it's a cheeseburger spring roll and it tastes so good.
No, for sure. Any others over at Disney World? I'd jump across to the West Coast, maybe talk a little bit about Disneyland.
I don't, the Num Num Cookie at Hollywood Studios, one of those, it looks good and it tastes good.
Yeah, I would agree.
I'm trying to think anywhere. Oh, again, personal preference. And again, let's backtrack for 1 second. This is all obviously our opinions.
Right.
Everybody's going to have different taste buds. The lobster roll and the clam chowder at Columbia Harbor House, amazing. But you're not taking a picture of a bowl of clam chowder, right?
I mean, unless you're in Boston.
Unless you're from New England and you like, oh, look at this, check out this clam chowder, you know?
Yeah.
You know, Disney hit it out of the park. No, it's really good clam chowder, but you're not taking, I mean, it's not Instagram worthy. So the lobster roll, kind of the same thing. It looks like a lobster roll, but pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Now, Pecos Bill, on the other hand, just down the road, I don't know why you'd be taking pictures of it or why you'd be eating it. I cannot wait until they turn that into something else.
Yeah,
so.
Right. Oh, my gosh. All right. Let's talk just a little bit about Disneyland, which I think, I mean, obviously we did our park rankings. Yeah. I ranked Disneyland, much to the chagrin of my podcast partners. I ranked Disneyland number one and then Epcot number two as far as best food parks.
Okay.
I think Disneyland just, obviously, I think it just has some really good food options. Again, probably going to fall in the line of not hitting your Instagram page, but really good food. I mean, just with the basics, they're churros. Their churros out there, for whatever reason, are just phenomenal to me.
I can't taste the difference.
Really?
But I don't. That's just. I think that's just.
We got to fly. Well, that's what we got to do. We got to fly from Florida.
And I've heard that you got if you want to be able to taste the difference, you got to have them side by side.
Yeah.
You need a Disneyland churro right next to a Disney World churro, and you take one bite and then take another bite and you just compare. You can't do that, obviously, right? So. My one churro experience at Disneyland, I got the it was like a spicy chocolate sauce to go with it. I didn't like it.
Oh,
I didn't like it. It was too hot.
Oh,
so gotcha. It just kind of took away from the
flavor.
The flavor. Yeah. So, yeah. I probably would not do the spicy chocolate sauce again. But yeah, I just don't remember the difference between that and Disney World, but I trust you. And it's not just you. I've heard this before that the Disneyland churro is better than the Disney World churro.
Yeah. I think we've talked about this before, the Monte Cristo at
phenomenal.
The Cafe Orleans. So good.
The looks prom, good. Tastes prom good.
Frites, fries, or however you say that with the garlic on them. So good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so good. The Parmesan garlic, I think.
Yeah, amazing. And we've had another dish there when we were there back in December. Beyond the Monte Cristo, that's just a great place to eat. Really good food options.
Yeah. Yeah, the beignets right around the corner as well. There, the mint julep, so good. And then I'll just finish up another. I think another Instagram worthy and good food is across the way, and we ate there when we went on our guys trip. Is the Lamplight Lounge. So you're there on the, you know, on the water there at California Adventure in Pixar Place, and it's just. You know, the food presentation at Lamplight Lounge is really awesome. Some of the drinks are really fun. They have fun names attached to them and just fun looks to them. But they're actually really, really good food there.
Yeah, I would agree with that one.
The not pulled pork. I almost said pulled pork nachos. the lobster nachos there are just so, so good.
Was that an appetizer that we got? Yeah, I remember that. Really that was good. That was really good.
Really good. Now, you ate at Carthay's
Carthay Circle restaurant. That was over this past Christmas. We got their holiday menu, which is, I think, only available, you know, Thanksgiving through Christmas. I'm not sure, but it was their holiday menu. Dude, it was fantastic.
Yeah.
It was amazing. And I think I got the pork chop. And so there were four of us. We all got a different dish, and everyone's dish was just amazing. So the whole presentation, the entire restaurant, I mean, that is, in my book, a 5 out of 5 experience. Food was a 5 out of 5. Absolutely recommend that place. If you're going to Disneyland, great, great place.
Would you say it's a kind of like a date night?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
If you don't take your kids. I mean, you could.
You could. And there are people there with their kids.
Yeah.
Again, it's one of those restaurants that it's going to be, it's a little bit on the pricier side. So if you take your kid that, you know, really wants just chicken nuggets, you're going to be spending $45 to $50 on a kid's plate.
Sounds awesome.
You know, which, you know, if that's, you know, go for it. Right.
Right.
if you want to experience, but yeah, it's totally, we did a double date, my wife and I, and then my brother and his wife. And, it was just a really, really fun experience. And not that we didn't enjoy not having our kids with us, but we enjoyed not having our kids with us. It just, to me, the vibe and the atmosphere was, it was nice just to be adults.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other places that I'll mention kind of maybe wrap things up, I think, is, and we mentioned Amaritz and Disney Springs, but I think just in general, Disney Springs, Downtown Disney over in Disneyland have some really, really good food options, high quality food options. Of course, you're going to get, you know, your run-of-the-mill stuff as well there, but one Disney Springs restaurant I've tried and just absolutely loved was Boathouse there at Disney Springs. Really, probably one of the best steaks I've ever had, period. Not at Disney, ever. And so just really, really good food there. Over at, you know, Downtown Disney in California, you know, again, if we're talking Instagram worthy and taste good, Black Tab Diner. They have those crazy shakes that have like a piece of cake on the top of a ice cream shake or something like that.
Is that where we ate on our guys trip like 2-3 years ago?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I remember that place. That place was good.
Yeah. And then they have really good burgers. But as far as it, kind of wrapping up the episode, my closing thoughts would be, you know, you can't go wrong with Disney food. I mean, I guess you can if you're going to some of the restaurants like you mentioned, Pecos Bill. But but I think just to leave on a positive note, again, I'll just repeat, you know, Disney has done such a phenomenal job when it comes to giving you lots of food options. I think the Imagineers and the chefs have worked beautifully together hand in hand that when you're in, you know, Africa in Animal Kingdom, you're getting African food, African inspired food.
Oh, like a Boma, the breakfast buffet,
Tusker House.
I was very reluctant to try Boma because it is an African infused, African style, amazing quality of food.
Yeah.
I totally misjudged and had different expectations. I felt bad. I'm like, it didn't sound good. But then you start tasting it, you're like, oh,
yeah,
this is some good stuff. Yeah.
And then you go over to Galaxy's Edge and you're getting a totally different menu, you know, selection and so forth. So I think, you know, again, I can't give Disney food enough praise for giving you that type of an environment where you can literally go from, you know, chicken nuggets and corn dog nuggets, if that's what you're into when you go to an amusement park, all the way up to, like we mentioned, the restaurant that we can't think of the name of it, the Grand Floridian.
Victorian Albert's.
Oh, there we go, yeah. That's a five-star restaurant, right? Yeah. Like, not just five-star, but just above and beyond some of the most phenomenal restaurants that you can, you know, eat at in general. Not just at a Disney park or an amusement park, but in general, you're going to a high-level, you know, restaurant.
Yeah. I love it, man. No, I guess to kind of wrap things up here, to, for those people who think that you're going to get theme park food, you're not. It's even the corn dogs, even the chicken nuggets, like you said, they're still going to be good. Now, you may have some pockets here and there where the food, I mean, we've talked about that, like Pecos Bill, not the greatest.
Right.
But let's not totally bash Pecos Bill. If you've got a family that has a lot of different appetites, a lot of different palates, Pecos Bill offers a lot of different options. You got burgers, you got fajitas, you got other things. So it's like, you know, that might be a good option for a family where there's a lot of picky eaters, right?
Sure. Yeah.
So, you know, I, like you said, and to your point, there's just Disney, the culinary background, the chefs, what they try to do is provide a really, really, really good eating and dining experience. And for the most part, they really do a great job. This is not Six Flags. No offense, Six Flags. This is not Universal. No offense, Universal. But Disney, in my opinion, has the best theme park food out there.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. We got time for a quick magical scenario.
Let's do it.
Okay. So I'm gonna set this up because I actually threw this out to my wife and your daughter. So I'm taking your daughter home the other night.
Okay.
And kind of thinking about this episode and what we're going to talk about. And I'm like, okay, all right, Riley, here's the scenario. You can retheme any restaurant at Disney World that you want to retheme. So you pick the restaurant that already exists and you have that footprint of that restaurant. And now you can take it and retheme it to anything you want to have. And she started off by talking about, you know, Rapunzel's area and all that stuff. And then her and my wife got talking as we're like driving down the road, and they came up with the idea to retheme Columbia Harbor House to the Snuggly Duckling restaurant from, you know, from Tangled. And they just kept going. They started talking about you could serve, you know, cornbread out of your frying pans, and there'd be frying pans hanging on the wall, and they were coming up with all apple dumpling for Max because he loves, you know, the horse loves all the apples, and they were just coming up with some great ideas. So I'll throw it back on you. If you could retheme any restaurant at anywhere in the parks, what would you do?
Well, let's just keep picking on Pecos Bill here.
No, seems to be the theme.
I know. And
here we're gonna rename this episode to "Why We Hate Pecos Bill."
But here's the thing: Tiana's Bayou Adventure is going to be opening up here. From all accounts, it looks pretty soon, right? And I've talked about this one cuisine, the one style of food that Disney has just not done yet is Cajun.
Yeah,
we don't have you could Cafe Orleans in Disneyland.
Yeah,
It's in the Orleans Square.
Yeah,
but we live here in Houston on the Gulf Coast. We've got a lot of transplants from Louisiana here. We do a crawfish boil every year.
Yeah,
we can walk out the door and go to any number of Cajun seafood places. That cuisine to me is probably my favorite cuisine. A cup of crawfish etouffee with some fried crawfish tails and some garlic bread. To me, that's what I would do. I would turn Pecos Bill into a Cajun seafood style Tiana's Kitchen. Make that just, let's bring the flavors of Louisiana, some, you know, Parmesan grout, char grilled oysters.
Yeah.
To the Magic Kingdom. Some fried alligator. some frog. I'm sorry, not alligator, frog legs, some hush puppies.
Yeah.
You know, they had some crawfish, shrimp. You know, my family's from the Mississippi Gulf Coast. You know, I didn't grow up there, you know, but we'd go back there every year, and it's, hey, give us seafood gumbo. Just let's just throw some shrimp on the table and we just kind of peel them and eat them. Like,
yeah, yeah.
That's what I want to see at Disney World. And I'm hoping that with this, you know, like I said, Tiana's Bayou Adventure, that they will come out with some sort of Cajun themed restaurant. Yeah. That's what I would do.
No, that's a great idea. I love that idea. And I think it would do very, very well. I'm trying to think, you know, I guess I'll just roll back to their idea. And I love the idea of the Snuggly Duckling, or maybe, I don't know how you would or what you would serve, but, you know, you got Memento Mori right there.
Oh,
and yeah. And the Haunted Mansion. And so if you did, I guess for me, from a pure theming, and then we could build in the food later, I would love to do like a Haunted Mansion parlor.
100%.
And like that sort of a, like, really heavily Haunted Mansion themed restaurant there at Columbia.
That would be
Harbor
amazing.
House.
That would be amazing.
Or some sort of spin off of it, right? Of I know that, yeah, that's what I would do, is because it's literally as you turn the corner and you come in, there's Columbia Harbor House on one end and the Haunted Mansion on the other end. And so I think that would really, and Memento Mori right there in the middle. So that would, I think that would play well with each other.
No,
right there.
I agree. Now, again, we love Columbia Harbor House.
Yeah, no,
it's a great place.
It's not a knock on the food or the restaurant, but if you could just
re-theme something,
I guess my bonus or my extra would be right across the way. I don't even know what it's called. There is it Tortuga Tavern. I would from Pirates.
Is it Skipper Can't? No.
No, right across
from
Pirates.
Yeah, right across from Pirates.
I think it is
Tortuga Tavern.
Tortuga Tavern. I think they could, like, just spruce that up to show better theming and
they don't even serve dinner there, I don't think.
No.
It's just lunch.
Yeah. That'd be a good one.
Which is weird, because I think Magic Kingdom needs more dinner options.
Right.
Anyway.
All right. Well.
This was fun.
This was a good episode. Hopefully we didn't lose any listeners.
Well, if we did, they're not listening right now, so.
Yeah. Well, thanks everyone for listening in. Hopefully you enjoyed the show. Hopefully we weren't too negative on some things, but again, just trying to keep it real so that if you're planning your next Disney trip, you know, don't stress out. You're going to get great food options at wherever you go in Disney. And don't feel like you've lost out if you don't get those high profile reservations.
Exactly. And we've talked about, a few weeks ago, we teased these bonus episodes that we were going to be dropping. Those are coming soon, probably in the next, 2 to 3 weeks, we'll be starting to drop those. Hey, listen, if you did stick with us throughout the entire episode, hey, go on to Apple, leave us a review. We would love to get a 5-star review from you guys. It does help the podcast grow. We'll read them on the show. If you listen on Spotify, hey, give us a 5-star. You can't leave a written review, but you can leave a 5-star rating. We 100% appreciate those reviews. It does help the podcast grow, and we definitely appreciate that. So, hopefully Randy will be with us next time. Randy, we missed you, bud.
All right.
So, see you
Thanks,
later.
Thanks, everyone.